nudge them a little bit. Hold them by the hand. Look them in the eye. Whatever you got to do, get their attention. And say, neighbor, I'm doing what the pastor say. Get mad if you want to. I'm going to praise right here. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Ain't the Lord all right? I say, ain't the Lord all right? Say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Bless the Lord. We may be hearing from them at the end of service that they've got another one or two in them, Brother Greg. I'm reminded of a preacher who had gone to this church and he pulled out his best message. And it was so good, they asked him to come back that night. So when he stood up that morning, he preached, God is good. Wrecked the house. Wrecked it. And they asked him to come back that night, and that was the best one he had. But when he came back that night, he preached, is God good? So I know they got more in them now. So we're going to be blessed later. The Lord say the same. Give them one more hand if you don't mind. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bible, stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Now, God, speak to us right where we are. Let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry meet us not only in the text, but in truth and in spirit. And then, God, give us illumination and understanding so that we might see the principles and not see them only, but practice them for profit and then be ever so careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And I want to look at verse 2 as our launching scripture. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 reads as follows. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word and to those who hear and obey. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, making room for growth. Making room for growth. My brothers and sisters, you need to know that growth many times, especially as relates to those things that God has planned and promised for us, do not happen by osmosis. It does not just happen automatically without your participation and without your involvement. And one of the things that I love about this word today is it is an encouraging word. It is a word that causes us to look not only at our situations, but beyond our situations. It helps us to think outside of the box. It helps us to look for that God has promised us that might not yet presently be there. One of the things that I like about Isaiah's word is that Isaiah speaks prophetically and he looks futuristically. He talks about what is now in context and in light of what is going to be later. One of the things that I like about encouragement is that no matter where you are, what you're in, what's going on in your life, the story doesn't end here. You may be going through some struggles and some rough times, some bad situations, bad decisions. You may be at the lowest ebb of life. You may not have ever been at this place that you're in right now. But thanks be to God, it's only a period and not the end of the book. It's important to recognize that though one chapter of your life might end bad, that it does not end the whole book. And so one of the things that I love about this word today is you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what the Lord is saying. You don't have to be a super academician to understand, a super intelligent person to grasp this reality. You can be the lowest and the smallest and the least intelligent, but if you've got some hope and if you got some scope, and if you know the Lord is able to back up what he says, it can turn your life around beginning now. Look at what he starts off saying in verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now here's God encouraging Israel and saying to Israel and liking Israel, if you will, to a barren woman who looks
And of course, you know, if you know anything about biblical antiquity, especially as related to women who were barren and could not produce children, it was a shame. It was a slander. It was considered a curse. It was something that was looked down on by society. And so women who were married and couldn't bear children had issues as the world saw it. And Israel was likened unto this woman, but God gives her a view of the future. Yeah. And he points out something that's spectacular, because the problem was not only was she barren, but she was widowed, which means then that if it wasn't bad enough that when she and her husband couldn't have children, now it's impossible for her to have one on her own. And so it literally speaks of being put in an impossible situation, a dark and damp and dungeonous situation that cannot have a good ending to it, and yet God shows you that there is. He steps into an impossible situation and brings out the possibilities, because when God is included in every situation and circumstance of our lives, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when he shows up, change is inevitable. When he shows up, he can take the impossible and do with it what you cannot do with it. And so he says, listen, you need to start a praise party. Yes, sir. Sing, oh barren. Well, the world would say, what do I have to sing about? I'm barren. I'm unproductive. I do not have offspring. I do not have the joy of the fruit of my womb. What do I have to sing about? And so maybe without the Lord, you're right, you don't have much to sing about. But if you've got the Lord on your side, how many of you know he'll put a new song? I said, if you've got the Lord on your side, he will put a new. Here's what you need to know. If the Lord is on your side and he tells you to sing, just start singing. Because I got news for you. If he's there, that's joy enough. Because when you are in the presence of the Lord, the Bible says there's fullness of joy. How many of you ever just felt good and you started singing and you ain't even know what you were singing? You just started humming, and then the words just started coming. You just made up your own little tune. And it has that happened to anybody but me? I mean, you can be driving, you can be cooking, you can be cleaning, but when you sense the presence of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, you just came up with your own stuff. Sing, oh barren. So here's what this says too. You need to learn how to sing before you get your deliverance. You need to know how to sing before you reach your promised land. You need to learn how to sing. Do you know why you're singing now? Because it's called practice. And the more you sing before the performance, that's the more practice you get in. So when game day comes, it won't be no hard thing for you to get up and sing. I wish I had a witness in the house. Listen at this. Listen what he says. He says, and I want to get to verse 2 right quickly. Enlarge. This is a command. This is you participating in the promise. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Why, it's always a time of rejoicing and expectation for the future when God comes into a situation and blesses that life with his presence and with his power. And so he's saying, listen, you need to describe this experience, if you will, in a way of understanding a barren woman not being able to have child, and then God miraculously blesses her with not just a child, but multiple children. He's saying, listen, what you need to recognize is, and I like the way Isaiah puts this, before the children came, the little dwelling place was good enough for one or two. It was a cozy, comfortable little nest. It was a place where you had those things that you liked placed and positioned where you want them. And when it's just one or two, you know, you put stuff down and it'd be right there when you go back. When it's one or two, you put your last piece of pecan pie in the icebox. And the other one, no, it's yours. It'd be there when you get back. You're comfortable with your activities, and they know you. You know them. But when things change, it creates a change in your environment. How many of you can remember before you had children what it was like? See, once, so I don't go too fast, let me make it plain. When it is known that a child is on the way, the two then begin to experience a change before the delivery of that child comes into being. They start realizing, wait a minute, depending on where they are, one, we're going to have to take this room that used to be this room and make it now a baby room. And so they have to go through and rearrange it, and they paint different colors and get prepared for the baby's coming. So the stuff they had in that room now has to go up in the attic, has to be repositioned, has to be gotten rid of, because they're stretching out. But that's all right. You can stay where you are if it's just one, but then a second one comes. And then a third one comes, and then it just keeps on, and suddenly you realize, wait a minute, I can't even turn around good. I can't even do like I used to do. There is no room for me to be comfortable. So you've got to get something larger to accommodate your growth. Now listen at this, because here is the expectation that Isaiah is speaking about for Israel, and not Israel only, but those people of faith. You have got to realize, if you are going to experience growth, you have got to prepare yourself for growth. You can't be comfortable with a little. Let me say that again. You cannot be comfortable with a little when you're expecting growth. You can be content with a little for a little while, but you never become comfortable with a little for a long period of time. And so, understanding that, Isaiah says to Israel, to the believer parenthetically and pragmatically, if you are going to prepare yourself and make room for growth, you're going to have to do some things differently. Look at what the text says. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Now, one of the good things about tents were in that day and time is and was that no matter what the original size of a tent was, all you needed literally to do was to do a few more things, and that tent that was comfortable for one or two could now be made larger to accommodate three or four. Right. And the one thing about the tent was you could just keep adding on to the tent in different directions so that they would adequately meet the need of the inhabitants in the tent. And so one of the things that was good about it was that when you expected and anticipated growth, you could make the tent accommodative for the growth you expected. So if one person was expecting one child, another was expecting triplets or quadruples or whatever it is they have beyond that number there, you could extend your tent to accommodate your new growth. But here is the point that you need to understand the Lord was making by way of Isaiah. When you're really expecting growth, you don't shortchange yourself. See, some folk like to grow just enough to be comfortable. But real growth takes you out of your comfort zone. Real growth stretches you beyond where you are and what is comfortable. Real growth causes you to think in a whole new way. It is impossible for you to really grasp the fullness of growth while remaining in the same frame of thinking. So many people miss God and miss their blessings because they try to fit God inside their small little thoughts and their small little goals and their small little dreams. And listen, God does not despise small beginnings, but he does despise small-mindedness. Somebody didn't hear me here. I said, God does not despise small beginnings, but he does despise small-mindedness. Everything about God is always about growth and multiply, increasing, and growing beyond present limitations. Oliver Wendell Holmes says that it's impossible for a man's mind to go back to its original design or dimensions after it has been stretched beyond that. Paraphrased. In other words, once you have really gotten a taste of thinking outside the box, you can never be satisfied with a little bit again. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you don't ever want to not know his goodness. Once you've been elevated, positioned, and put in a place of blessings and where God has elevated your life to, you don't ever want to go back to the measly ways of existing and getting by ever. Again, Henry Ford said after he made his first million, if I lost my first million again, I'd make my second much quicker than I made my first, because I know how to do it now. Yeah. And so you got to realize there are some things you got to do. Now notice what the word says. Enlarge, which means expand, the place of thy tent. Can I tell you, God needs you to do your part. Yes. He needs you to enlarge your tent. I like this because what God does is he allows me to put my limits on me. How much do you really want? See, some people can't work a job where they can set their own salary because it requires much from you. See, folk like to go many times to a job where I'm going to make X number of dollars, so I know every week I'm going to get this amount of money, so I'll know how to do this and do that and do the other and so forth. And so they don't live in great expectation. Listen, I don't mean to step on your foot. But what I am trying to do is help you see what God wants you to see. Because one of the things, even as a believer, is knowing this. Man can dictate your salary, but he can't dictate your income. So even if you are on a fixed salary, you need to know it matters most who fixes it. You don't hear me? I'm on a fixed salary, but God fixed my salary. And so that means I have multiple streams of income because he fixed my, y'all not hearing me here. I could stick to one place and one stream of income if I would settle for some stuff. But because I've gotten a vision and a glimpse of my future, I know it's going to take a whole lot more than what I've got coming in to get where I'm going. So I've got to think the way God wants me to think so he can open some doors and make some ways. And all of it don't come from one place. Y'all can get quiet if you want to, but I won't tell you truth today. Anybody who's solvent, anybody who's got some real money will tell you it don't all come from. Now, I'll tell you, it does come from one source. It's the Lord, but he has so many resources. So when he says, enlarge your tent, he's telling you, you decide how big you want to be. You decide how much you want to make. You decide how far you want to go. You decide how large you want to live. What a, see, if you got that, you'd be shouting right now. But you looking at me like you won't believe this is real. See, that's why folks start hating on you. When you were right there with them. And now, because you couldn't settle for little and be comfortable with little. And you wanted more, which required more. So you did more and you got more. And then now you have more. And they won't talk about you think you're something. No, I think I'm something else. Because you something. I wish I had a helper in the house. And so ain't no need to hate when God tells you enlarge. When God says expand. When God says maximize. When God says increase. Oh, I wish I had a witness. He's saying do it till you're satisfied. Whatever. It is. Listen. I want you to see this. The word says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Listen at this now. Literally, he's saying you need to prepare for some room to stretch out. You ought to get tired of cramped quarters. You need some more stretch out. Some folk wouldn't know what to do with more room. Can I tell you what you do with more room? You stretch out. You can't stretch out if you ain't got room to. Some of us are so cramped and cold, this is how we sit in church. No room to give me some room. I need some room. You know, folk who are used to room don't like to be crowded. Don't get back, you're too close. Don't crowd me, because I may break out into praise and hit you. I'm used to lifting hands. I'm used to stretching out hands. I need some room to pray. I can't always praise him in a little cramp. Stretch forth the curtains of thine, your habitations. That's where you live at. Tell somebody you better get ready for an expansion. This house too little. This apartment too little. This condo is too little. Not too little, it's just too little. It's so small it can't be little, it's little. And you can always tell folk who don't have vision, because the first thing they say, what you need all of that for? Wish I had a witness in the house. It's just you. It's just you too. Well, that's all you see right now. But I'm preparing for the future. And when you're blessed, listen, my brothers and sisters, you can be a blessing. You see, what you don't understand is when you expand your tent, when you enlarge your tent, when you stretch out your curtains, you don't understand. You're getting ready for an increase that's going to fill the dimensions of your expansions. They may not see it right now, but it's on the way. And what you're doing by faith is getting ready for the best that is yet to come. Listen at this next word. Listen at what it says. Stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Now look at God's admonition here. Spare not. Don't listen to small-minded people. Spare not. See, because what you don't understand is, if God has said, enlarge your tent, stretch out your curtains, it means you have got to go till you can't go no more. You got to stretch so far out until you're about to pop. You've stretched so far. Now, don't get this thing twisted now. Don't think I'm talking about spending your credit cards and to the maximum limits and giving all that. I ain't talking about that. Somebody go over there, get lying on me, talking about, yeah, the pastor said we need to stretch out, baby, Christmas coming. Let's just spend our credit cards to the limit. I ain't say nothing about that. I'm talking about preparing yourself for growth and development and increase and income. Talking about doing what it takes so that you can be prepared for what God wants to bring into your place. Look again, he says something else. He says, spare not, lengthen thy cords.